John Acosta, nice job last night at Zanies as well.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
We had our karaoke winner on stage with John, and they sang a little song.
On my upper she was good.
Lip, she was good, wasn't she?
I've really never good. Seen before.
So John was stressing out. He kind of rewrote the song.
And I wish that there
the
was
song that she did on Friday.
I could call.
And the woman rewrote the lyrics.
The WGN hotline.
Sorry, John.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine Impact Every Day. How are things at the hospital?
They are great. Busy, but great. So everything's going pretty good right now.
Good. Did you have a nice weekend?
I did. I didn't play golf at all.
Me either. 36 holes of it.
You did?
Yeah. No, I thought you were listening because, you know, you're my friend. I played so badly, I'm going into the witness protection program for golf. I mean, it's just inexplicable.
That's not fun.
No. Pumped two balls out of bounds on the first hole and made a 10.
Yeah. See, I'm going to block those thoughts out. I'm going down to Greenville tomorrow to play with our good friend Chris Smith in the web.com, so I'm not going to think about that. So,
yeah, no, you shouldn't. And please tell Chris hello and give him my best.
I definitely will.
All right, so let's talk about this. And I plugged this earlier for a reason. And sorry, I got a throat problem today. Yep. But cell phones and video games. Because I see people of all ages doing this, but here's what we know. Everything's mobile. Kids love the video games. And we've heard for years, Doc, you and I are old enough to go back to a decade we called the 90s.
Yes.
And in the 90s, what did we hear? Ooh, your cell phone. You hold it up to your head like that too long, it's going to give you a brain tumor. Oh, yeah, you don't want that radiation next to your head. So then we go hands-free for the majority of us, right, most of the time. Yep. And we're thinking we're okay. But now we're staring at the screens. We stare at the screens all day, every day. What are we doing to kids' brains who are still doing the wiring?
Well, I think the amazing thing, Steve, is that, you know, when you go back to the 90s and say, you know, we had these cell phones, 7-year-olds didn't have cell phones.
Right.
And you look now, it's not unusual to see young kids, whether they're at, you know, at school or wherever they are, but they're sitting there with their phones. And it's amazing that the age that we're putting these devices in these kids' hands, when really we haven't done many long-term studies to see what damage these things could possibly do.
We've got, I just asked Sandberg to run in here because she's got two little kids in her life, and those two little kids are how old?
They are 12 and 9. And
do they have phones?
Yes. And the slew of cousins that we have, like the 2-year-olds hold the phone constantly. When anyone's acting up, you hand out a phone. It's
right.
The
and
best
they look
silencer
at the phone.
There is, yeah.
Right. So, Doc, what do we know about brain wiring? It goes on until they're 20, 21 or you know, years old, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does, you know, especially when we're young. At that time, young, the brain development is very key and very important. So some parts of video games are good, actually. If you play them in moderation and you play the right games, it's going to teach a child how to think and how to act and how to read. But unfortunately, when we look at the health-related things, fortunately, I'll say at first, you know, people have been concerned about brain cancer and can these devices cause cancer? There has been numerous studies, and there continue to be numerous studies, where there's been shown no possibility, chance of that happening. That being said, cell phones have only been around for 20 years.
Right.
So we don't know about these young kids being affected versus what we're doing now is taking individuals, adults with brain cancer and saying, okay, how much time did you spend on the phone? Looking back to see if we can make a correlation. The biggest concern is being going forward. However, the power that we use for cell phones, the radio frequency that we use, has been shown to not make any impact on our DNA, which would change cancer. And there have been lots of studies in mice and rats that have shown that even total exposure, 24 hours a day to one very close, has not made any impact either.
Well, what we do know is it affects behavior. It affects behavior. It affects socialization skills. And I've had this discussion with other adults. Those would be the older people. And the adults who, you know, who say things like, well, like their generation, they're all going to be doing it. So what? So we're going to have a society of people that don't look at each other when they talk to each other and those sorts of things?
Well, it's true, Stephen. You know, you talk about socialization. Not only that, kids don't talk on the phone anymore.
Right.
They text. So, you know, the vocal.
It's the least cool thing you can do is talk on the phone if you're a kid.
Absolutely. So, you know, the power of standing in front of, like, you're a great public speaker, right? You can stand in front of people and do that. We're going to have kids up there that are going to want to text to people because they,
you know. You have a president in 50 years doing a State of the Union by text.
Yeah.
He's standing in front of the room. He's texting everyone in the crowd.
And it is amazing, too, how many people have what we call text thumb, where they get a tendonitis in their thumb because of how much they're texting. And some video gaming as well, but a lot of texting, even in adults who text a lot, get a text thumb or a text finger, and it's a tendonitis, actually, from overdoing it.
That's crazy. And now remind me again, 7 and 12 or 9 and 12 for your kids?
9 and 12.
9 and 12. How old are your god kids?
They are 5 and 4.
And you spend tons of time with them.
Oh, I do.
Are they on the phone?
They are not. They know how to take mom's iPad or even the phone, and they swipe, and they know the password. And little Chloe, I love her. She's just, you know, learning numbers and whatnot. Boom, 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 boom. She puts the password in, and she starts playing her games, which is good and bad.
All right, now, admit this. You're babysitting the kids. Do you give them your phone?
I usually don't because I'm kind of protective about my phone. Okay. I don't want them to drop it.
All right, Doc, I have many more questions about this. Can you stick around a second?
Absolutely.
Dr. Kevin Most, you're sponsored by, Doc, I don't know if you know this, fine people at Northwestern Medicine. You know what they do there, Doc? They impact every day.
They're very fine people.
Yeah, they impact every single day. And Doc, since the merger, only wears purple underpants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, impact every day. All right, Doc, so these kids on their video games, how much time are they spending on them?
Yeah, Steve, that's the amazing thing. When you look at studies, and there's a lot of studies going on about video game usage and how much time and the effects of it. So there are some that say, you know, but on an average, they'll spend 7 hours a week. There's others that have shown that in a higher end, 7 hours, 7.5 hours a day at certain times of the year.
So hold on a second.
That's amazing.
Hold on.
Like full-time work.
Like, yeah, it's an eight-hour work day on video games?
Yeah, if you think about it, especially like during the summer, kids will play for 3 hours in the morning, go do something, play for another couple, 3 hours in the afternoon, and then play 3 hours at night, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that's 9 hours. So the studies have been all over the board.
But I got to I got to tell you something. Yep. I mean, you know what your mom and dad would have said?
Get outside.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you're letting your kid play video games for 7 hours a day, here's a bulletin. You're the problem.
If I could defend the parents.
7 hours a day?
Well, sometimes you need a break from play with me. Come outside and play with me. Do this with me. I'm bored. And so
when they hit 11, 12, Mayor,
the video
they
game
won't want
is
to be around you.
A little bit of a nice, for the nine-year-old range, hey, why don't you go downstairs and play NHL 15?
Yeah, look. The same thing was done in, a decade we called the 90s, with videos. You'd pop a video in. Pop a video in, you put your kid in front of the TV for an hour, 2 hours. But you don't go, well, thank God I got 8 hours away from the Rugrat. 8 hours is nuts, Doc.
Well, and Steve, you know, you just touched on it, too. Think about when we were growing up, and I mean, kids listening to this are going to freak out. We had 5 channels.
Yes. Total.
We didn't have 150 channels and DVR and video on demand and all that.
And prior to the 5 channels and Dave was growing up, you actually had an artist in the house that would paint pictures and show them
The
child.
Yes.
Yeah, like a sketch artist. Hey, Doc, can I ask you, is there any correlation? I know there was the study that you were talking about the 5,000 patients that had brain tumors that did not show a link between phone use and brain tumors. Is that still, I mean, 5,000 doesn't seem like that large of a sampling, but is there definitively no direct link between, and I'm talking adults now, brain tumors and cell phone use?
Correct. There's no link. And 5,000 may seem like a low number, but those are 5,000 people who have brain cancer. So that's a very large number when you look. It was a multi-country study, I think 17 different countries. So it was a large number.
Let me talk about the physical manifestations of this that you can actually see. Here's what we know. If a kid's going to sit around for 7 hours a day and not go outside or not even move around in the house, they're going to be a fat kid. And a fat kid has all sorts of problems that they have to deal with, which are unfortunate and sad and unnecessary. We also know that kids have a huge incidence of type 2 diabetes, like no time that we've ever known before. These both have to be related, don't they, to this?
Steve, it's amazing. You know, in 1980, the obesity rate for children was 6%, and that 6% is one that we could explain. Thyroid issues, diabetes, you know, 6%, okay, we're going to accept that. Now we're approaching 20%. And with that, we are starting to see children now with high blood pressure. We're seeing teenagers with high blood pressure, totally unheard of in the past. Number of kids with type 2 diabetes, which used to be considered an adult illness.
Right.
is now being found in children. It is amazing how much impact this is making.
What about posture and, you know, hurting your back and, you know, the whole thing? Because we've seen studies, too, and people are actually designing office furniture now, which will be in a perma-slouch position. Like, you won't have a normal cubicle desk sort of setup. You'll have couches. You'll have couches and loungers all over the place because nobody sits up to work if you're just sitting on your phone or your iPad.
Correct. All of you going to work right now in your cars, you're going to go to your office, and hopefully your desk has been ergonomically set up for you so that you're far enough from the screen appropriately, that your hands are at the right level. Now go home and watch what your kids are doing and how they are playing video games. Not unusual now for pediatricians and family docs to have kids come in complaining of back pain. And it's like, what?
I'm laughing because it sounds ridiculous, but how sad is it that a 12-year-old would come in with back pain and high blood pressure?
Right. But yet it is a reality. I mean, you just look around at kids right now. You're starting to see, like, you know, when we grew up, you used to walk outside in the summer, there'd be two baseball games going on in the street.
Yep.
You know, you walk out now and it's like ghost town. You know, there's nobody out. And it is. It's very sad. And we do have to worry about, you know, some of the long-term problems. Diabetes in adults does cause long-term problems. But we're talking, you know, towards the end of their life, kidney problems, vision problems, blood pressure problems. When you take that at children right now where you're seeing development of bones, you're seeing development of these organs, and now you're starting to damage them with high blood pressure and high sugar levels, we're going to see some long-term consequences of this sitting around playing video games.
And people know, you know, I mean, people listening now know it's true. You drive into your neighborhood, wherever your neighborhood is, you see kids playing outside, you go, holy cow, there's kids playing outside. You don't even see it anymore. Outside of like an organized activity, like a game where the parents are sitting there or something.
Unless you scare them away when they
unless I go outside to just say hi and the kids think I'm going to yell at them.
It's true.
Right. But the fact is kids don't just free play outside anymore. I've told this story before. I remember Ross being like 10 years old with his buddies. I'm like, well, get out of the house.
Yeah.
Get out. Go play baseball. There's a field across the street. Nobody's using it. Go play baseball. And one of the kids, I love this kid. He's getting married in a couple of weeks. And the kid goes, are we going to have any supervision?
Are we going to have any snacks?
You're 150 yards away.
Yeah, where's the snacks?
And the other kid wanted to bring his cell phone. He was 11. He wanted to bring his cell phone.
We were told, don't come home until the streetlights come on.
Yeah, yep. You came home to eat, and you came home to go to bed.
Right.
Hey, Steve, sometimes you even come home to eat. Your mom would see you at dinner time and say, where'd you have lunch? Oh, you know, we were playing down at Tim's house, and we decided we'd have lunch there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And weren't you saying last week that there were a bunch of kids? You were so glad to see some kids outside playing?
Yes. Yeah, in my neighborhood. There's kids that are outside playing. I'm considering calling DCFS. They're outside playing.
And it wasn't even a play date back then. We would find, you know, raw pasta or hot dogs or something to eat in our friend's fridge.
Yeah, and Mary is the official representative of the millennials here because you speak for them.
Mm-hmm.
She mocked me last night. I'll tell that story later. But the fact is, this is not a bunch of old people talking about this. You know you have to get physical exercise. Why do you go work out every day?
Oh, because I need the release. Yeah,
and you it's need good it. For you.
Mm-hmm.
And kids need that.
That's why kids are stressed out.
They're not that good at playing by themselves, though, or just going out and... They like to have audiences. Everyone, they watch me do this. Watch me. Like, they like. And then
I wonder where that came from.
You're the bad parents if you're like, you let Patrick take his bike down the street to the neighbor's house on his own. It's like, oh, boy.
Wow. We haven't even touched on the social aspect of it, you know, because that's another big part of it. We talked a little bit about it briefly, but, you know, they've shown that kids that play video game for 1 hour, 1 hour or less a day, they're more socially satisfied than those that don't play at all. So a little bit of use is good. But those who play 3 hours or more, increased hyperactivity, attention issues, depression. I mean, we're talking about big issues here.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And, you know, look, you love your kid so much, you don't want him to get hurt ever, 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 of course. Well, love your kid enough to kick him outside and make him be active and make him play. That's it.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, Steve, is, you know, some of these video games, they're violent, yes. Do we see that is desensitizing kids to violence? We're not so sure about that. But one thing we do know is it shows that they show a decrease, a more pronounced impulsiveness. I saw a guy jump over a car in a video game. Oh, you know what? I can do that. And these kids are at an age where they're still fearless. and they see something on a video game and they go and try it, and we're seeing injuries from those.
Yeah, and if you've been sitting around and you're not in shape, don't jump over a car. What?
Correct.
A couple of text questions, Doc. As a teacher, I've seen fine motor development decline. The child does not know how to hold a crayon or a pencil entering kindergarten and struggles with handwriting and fine motor control due to primarily using a device where all you do is tap and swipe. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other thing that's interesting about that point is controllers are one size, so it really doesn't allow someone, if they had specific controllers based on the size of your hand, that might be possible. But now it's not. It's one size, so it really doesn't fit anybody except for one person. So there is decrease in that. You're going to see artists that are not going to be as good as they were in the past, that's for sure.
847 texter says, what about the increase in breast cancer in younger women? Is it due to placing cell phones in their bra to carry?
No, I doubt that. You know, the increase in breast cancer in younger women is a couple of things.
What if one it's a really big phone?
One is hereditary, one is hormonal, one is exposure to things, and one is awareness and detection. So,
and a completely separate question here, Doc. I'm scheduled to attend a wedding in Punta Cana. The Zika virus scares me. My husband died from West Nile 3 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Zika virus, you know, it's a big media splash, and it is only going to continue until something happens. You know, you're going to start to see more and more cases in the United States. So I'm not sure how old this individual was who put this, but if you're a woman of childbearing age, I'd be extremely careful going down there. And then again, anyone who's coming back can have the Zika virus for weeks afterwards and can still spread that to a female. So pregnant female is the group that we're most concerned about.
Man, can you imagine losing your husband like that and then having to go into mosquito country?
Oh.
Yeah, it's very scary. Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.